You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Wayne Fritz, and we have a special guest with us today. But we have Anthony.
Yay. How are you doing?
The second time on the show. Yes, sir. Anthony Barocas is with us today, and he's going to share with us some of his, I want to say expertise. I know he, you know, but certainly he's very knowledgeable in the area of radio communications. He's also a video. Would you say you're a video engineer as well, or how would you say your other?
I'm a multi-camera live streaming producer.
Multi-camera live streaming producer. Cool. So definitely we'll give our viewers ways that they can connect with Anthony and see some of his work at the end of the show. So I know he has some very active YouTube sites and all that, but we're going to talk about radio communications. And Wayne, are you ready?
I'm just like lunch meat. I'm always ready. I loved it. I'll tell you, Anthony was awesome last time, so I'm looking forward to this.
Well, I appreciate the compliments.
So Anthony and I are both licensed amateur operators with the FCC. We're both general class operators. We have our FCC issued call sign. And so one of the aspects of the hobby that we enjoy is through amateur radio or quote ham radio. And that's kind of that's a fairly large segment of frequencies that he and I both partake in. But there's other types of communication and other types of radios that are used in everyday situations. They're also used in emergency situations that you don't have to have a license. You don't need to take a test with the FCC. You don't necessarily have to mail the FCC the $35 that we mailed for our GMRS license, right? So there's another license for...
Or you might need to mail them more.
Yeah. So, and so that's what we want to talk about is some of those other modes of communication. And where's my cell phone? Oh, yeah, I'm using my cell phone for this. So I was going to talk about Zello. So, Anthony, I guess go ahead and start us off, and I'll kind of follow your direction on you want to go into emergency preparedness, you want to go into the MERS or whatever.
Wait, well, hey, you have a question?
Something? Yeah, first of all, you know, something that hit me. I mean, I hear about ham radio, and I've known about it all of my life. But what is ham an acronym?
No, it's just a weird shorthand that came around, I guess, in 1930s or so. It's amateur radio. All that basically means in amateur radio, you can't get paid for doing radio. As opposed to professionals who, you know, they might be communication engineers. They might have a business. And if you're using your radio for your business where you're making money, so if you dispatch trucks to pick up trash or whatever, you're using radio for commercial purposes. Whereas amateurs, the amateur basically means we can't use the radio to make money. But what we do is we use amateur radio for to assist with communications. Like this past weekend in Plano, Texas, was the Balloon Festival. So we had 55 different balloons. And, you know, we're not the only people there with radios. But everybody who has radios are all specifically targeted to their own. So the fire department was talking with the fire department. And the ambulance, you know, and the medic teams were in communication with the medic teams and things like that. And the police, they had their own band. So, you know, if they've got something to take care of, they're not on the fire band and everybody has to take turns. They each have their own set of frequencies and protocols. And then the pilots also had their own radios so they could communicate amongst each other, which is important when they go in the air. They can communicate, let me go above, let me go below, or, you know, something like that. And then I was part of a volunteer group, and what we did was we just sort of did, we watched the field, And we just sort of made sure that nobody was getting hurt. There was somebody that actually did step on a fire ant mound and got bit, and he was allergic. So, you know, we needed to get him, you know, taken away, you know, taken care of and everything. But that's really what we're doing is we're this, you know, another layer of communication, because the field in between the balloons was not spread through with police or fire. They were stationed off to the side to be deployed when needed. It was just, you know, an open event for the public, and we were just, you know, a presence on the field where should anything happen, we would be the first eyes to see it, then we could radio in, and then, you know, EMTs could come out or something like that.
Okay. Cool.
What radio did they have you, did you have your HT? What bandwidth and where were you?
For this one, we actually had, I think, four different setups. We had a local frequency on VHF, which is the 100 megahertz area. And that was for our field communications. On Saturday morning, when they launched, some of them launched, some of them stayed on the ground, and they had a static display. So it was a combination. The ones that launched went to what we have as a repeater. So it's something way up high in the air, and if you can hit the repeater repeats your signal with a much stronger amount of power to everyone else. So if you can hit it from your car chasing a balloon, that's what they were. They were the balloon chasers, just to make sure everything was safe. He's down, he's in a field, they've been recovered, they're all packed up. Just radioing back to where the balloon festival was being held, status information. You know, because this, you know, it should anything tragic happen, like somebody hit power lines or something like that, they're not going to be making the call because they're busy. And it's someone else who's being an observer that's going to be able to make the call and, you know, relay information. So it was just an added layer, but they use a repeater frequency. Then should they go too far, we had a second repeater that we could go to. So we had two layers of repeaters, and then we had an alternate local channel if we needed it.
Nice.
Cool.
And, you know, that's just for our, you know, our local communications. I mean, ham radio spans a lot of frequencies, and you could be a ship at sea and be able to make contact in land using ham radio, but not with those local frequencies, only with the HF frequencies, or what they call high frequencies. Not very high and not ultra high, just high frequencies.
Okay.
Like a great example of, go ahead.
I think Bruce got kicked off, but go ahead. This is really interesting. So let me ask you a question again. So a ship could be at sea with a ham radio.
Yes.
What, how can that connect? I mean, is there a repeater out somewhere or?
Well, yeah, it uses different frequencies, and different frequencies have different properties. Like if you're local within, you know, city limits and things like that, VHF and UHF are great frequencies in the 100 megahertz and 400 megahertz. You know, those, that's the size of the band. If you are out at sea, they also have VHF. It's the marine band. They have a whole set of channels. So if there's two boats, they can communicate. Hey, are you know, everything good there? Yes, everything's good here. Hey, we're taking on water. We need help. But you have to be within line of sight, again, because they're local frequencies. But if there's somebody way out, you know, 200 miles out at sea, 1,000 miles out at sea, if you use the HF frequencies, which are 10 meters, 20 meters, 40 meters, and yes, it's metric, but what that means is if you know what a meter is, it's about 3 feet. The 20-meter band during the day, you're able to communicate great distances. 20 meters is the length of the wave, so you need a big antenna, but that 20-meter wave is going to reach from 1,000 miles offshore into the United States. And there's a maritime mobile net on 14 megahertz every day to help ships at sea.
Wow, that's cool. So I mean, Han, what I'm understanding, and I know nothing, but is that ham radio is really it's a life-saving channel that amateurs can use and pay attention to and listen all around the world and be there to help relay signals. Okay, there we go. Now we're seeing some stuff.
There's Bruce's station. And there you go. You can see context going across the United States.
Right.
It's probably a propagation chart.
It is.
Showing you active stations that are broadcasting a beacon. And what these are tracked on the web so that a ham radio operator like Bruce can look up at his chart and say, wow, it's really open from the U.S. into Europe right now. And he can make lots of contacts. And this is going on all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. These signals are bouncing around the world.
Wow.
Yes. And below is what meter band is doing what. So anyhow. Just a little example of what Anthony is saying there.
And we were going to talk a little bit about, you know, emergency preparedness. Like,
yes,
we were there at the Balloon Festival in case there was an emergency. But, you know, our traffic was very minimal. You know, when we say traffic, let me define that. That was basically if I had information that needed to be passed along. We call that traffic. And it was minimal. You know, these balloons are up. This balloon came back down. They're not, you know, this one's not going to go up because the wind's too strong or whatever. That was our messages that we needed to communicate. But, you know, you go back to when the hurricane hit Puerto Rico. I mean, that hurricane decimated that, you know, the, I don't want to say colony, but it decimated the island and, you know, roads were washed out, trees and telephone poles were knocked over. Huge areas were without power, and then after about 6-12 hours, any cell towers that were running off a generator, they went dead. So if you're in a remote town, you can't get down the road, you don't have electricity, and your cell signal is dead. So how do you let someone know that you have injured people, you need medical supplies, you need what type of assistance you need? And it's a ham radio operator who, you know, if their house is washed out, they take a radio and they plug it into their 12-volt battery in their car. They throw a wire in a tree and they get on the air. And with that propagation, they can reach someone in the States. Someone in Arkansas or Ohio hears this station calling and they say, this is my traffic. I have, you know, 3 injured people. We need this, we need that, and we need the other. And the person in the United States can get on the phone and call FEMA. Because the person in Puerto Rico can't.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it's such a valuable tool. And I think all of us owe a big thanks to radio enthusiasts that do this. I mean, my goodness, what would it be like if they didn't have somebody to contact? You know, that's out there. 24/7, 365.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not, I don't want to create the impression that ham radio operators exist solely to provide,
I understand,
you know, this public service. It's part of what we can do, but a lot of it is, it's a fun hobby.
Yes.
And it's a technical hobby. And a lot of people do ham radio for different things. Some people are builders and they like to build radios and there's kits and all kinds of things. Some people are what they call contesters, people who like to do contests. And when a contest comes up, they get on the air and they make as many contacts as possible. And you could win, they can get awards and certificates for doing that. And, you know, that's what they really like to do. Other people like to volunteer and provide, you know, public service and communications for parades and bike-a-thons and balloon festivals and things like that. Other people like to do, like one of the clubs here just launched a high altitude balloon. You know, it's like a little, you know, inflatable weather balloon, and they put a little box at the bottom that's got a bunch of ham radio stuff so it can send pictures, it can send radio telemetry as to where it is and how fast it's going, and then when it comes down, it sends a beacon so you can hunt it down in a field and find it, and things like that. And, you know, there's experimental capabilities with ham radio as well. So it's a lot of different things for a lot of different people, but... Mm-hmm. For emergency preparedness, it definitely has a usefulness, but it's not the only radio protocol out there, too, because ham radio, is something you have to like study for, take a test, get a license. And for some, that's a big hurdle. And not everybody is able to do that or wants to go through that to get a ham radio license. So there's other radio protocols that are out there, like something as simple as putting a CB radio in your Jeep. If you're going to go off-roading somewhere, you know, a CB radio in your Jeep while you're, you know, doing the dunes in Moab, that you're going to hear lots of people talking, because that's a, you know, a very common mode of communication for vehicles.
Yeah, I used to have one in my car back in the 55 mile an hour speed limit.
You know, and you know, we talked about 20 meters a few minutes ago, Wayne. If you ever had a CB radio, that CB radio is an 11 meter. That's an 11 meter radio, just okay, for reference. So, but it's more popularly called CB radio. So
yeah, for anyone who's older, they may remember in the late 70s, I think it was CB radio. All of a sudden, people were talking coast to coast on CB radio.
Wall to wall and treetop tall.
There you go.
It's the same exact principle. You know, you only have 5 watts from a CB radio, but if the conditions are good, that's enough.
Yeah.
Right. You can talk for miles and dozens of miles, hundreds of miles, even if you get what they call skip.
It was called skip. Remember skip land? And, you could talk to other people across. And that was what really fascinated me getting into the hobby, was talking to those people. Because sometimes, you know, 11 meters of the CB band, it's active. The skip is there. And so, now I don't know if the FCC sometimes, you know, if you're able to talk large distances, I think sometimes the FCC is kind of a little concerned about that. And so that's why with these other radios, like GMRS radios that are at 462 megahertz versus 27 megahertz on the CB band, well, that frequency is so high, it's not volatile in that. I mean, yes, you could shoot skip on GMRS, but it'd be pretty slim.
Pretty darn hard.
Way slim. So you know, you're pretty much guaranteed a local conversation at that high of a frequency. Some of the lower frequencies are very volatile. You know, Wayne, have you ever listened to an AM radio at night?
Oh, yes, I have. The one I used to listen to, Nashville.
Exactly. And so all the, you know, at nighttime, what is that, 1.6, 1.7, you know, it's pretty volatile. You can actually hear a station farther away easier than you can hear the local AM radio sometimes, right?
I think that's what the Wolfman used.
Yeah. Yep.
Wolfman Jack.
So, yeah. So anyway, so that's, and then the ham operators have 160 meters, which is just a little bit outside, right? It's just a little bit outside the AM carrier there, only by 100. We're right there on the heels of it. And so it's really interesting. Application.
Anthony, I don't know if I asked this last time. If I did, maybe we have new listeners. But you, why did you get interested in what is your? Do you have a focus today?
Interesting questions. I got interested in it back at the end of 98, 99, when everybody was talking about computers, all the computers that don't know the year 2000, things are going to just go bad and everything. And, you know, it's kind of like it's a prepper thing. It's sort of like, well, be prepared. Well, part of being prepared was having this backup method of communication. If cell phones all of a sudden can't figure out what day it is and what century it is, then we could have a problem. And we all know it turned out to be not a problem at all, but it led me to look into this, and I was like, this sounds pretty cool. And I'm a technical person, you know, I like to like build things and solve things. And so putting together a station was a cool thing to me. And, you know, making that happen is something that I enjoy. Like ham radio operators have what we call field day. And it's in essence a nationwide emergency preparedness exercise. So for 24 straight hours, pretend whatever happened, get out of your house, go somewhere else that you don't normally go, set up stations on emergency power, generators, solar power, whatever you want, you know, and they actually have like different classes, like if you're at home, or if you go to an emergency operations center, or if you go to a public place, or if you're, you know, mobile, and then different power levels. So you have like 5 watts and less is what they call QRP, or very low power. 100 watts is like the standard for most radios. And then you have everything over 100 watts. And our license currently gives us the ability to transmit with 1,500 watts. Ooh. So if you want to make sure your signal can get through, then 1,500 watts will certainly help with that.
Burn your fingers.
Yes, it will burn your fingers if it's not properly set up. That's the engineering part. But most typical radios, you know, in that middle level are 100 watts. Mobile radios you put in your car are 100 watts. But there are guys that love to go out and with, do what they call as parks on the air. And what's the other one? Not just parks on the air, peaks on the air? Summits on the air. Yeah, and they like to like, hey, let me take this little backpack kit and my 5-watt radio, and I'll climb to the top of this mountain because I get to go out. It gives me something to do. And once I get to the top of the mountain, I'm going to put up an antenna. I'm going to make a bunch of contacts, you know, as part of this program, you know, called Summits on the Air or Parks on the Air. And there are people who are activators, and there are people who are hunters, and there's an online, you know, system that tracks everything. So you could also earn certificates and things like that. How many parks have you activated? How many places have you hunted? And I've done that as well. I went to Hawaii. I brought a little, you know, little bag about this big, and I had a 5-watt radio. And I would drive along the road and stop at a park because Hawaii has lots of national parks.
Yes.
Almost every valley is a park.
Yep.
And I'd set up my little vertical antenna, and I would just get on the air, and I would make 10 contacts and close it up and move on. It's like a little personal challenge, and it's also a learning experience, so that should something happen, I have a go kit, I have a bag I can grab, I know how to set it up, I know how long it'll last on battery, I know, you know, how to deploy the wires and everything, because I've done it a bunch of times. And that's one of the key things about being prepared, you know, and the Red Cross will tell you, you know, if you want to have an emergency preparedness, you know, for your house, you have to get together and formulate a plan ahead of time. Then you have to like practice the plan, you know, so that, you know, it's like, oh, okay, we all got in the car. We've got, you know, food, we've got this and everything. Oh, we don't have any of our medicine. Ah, okay. We need to add our medicine to, you know, the plan. You know, you have to like practice it in order to figure out what doesn't work or what you forgot. And that's one of the key things about being prepared is this practice, which is what Field Day is all about. Hey, go out and practice, you know, because you, if you do this, you're going to learn like you're going to have a list of stuff that came up that you didn't know about.
Well, going back a little bit, you said you went to Hawaii and drove around, and I used to live there, and I've been there dozens of times, so I'm familiar with it. But so when you, let's say you set up along the road in the rest area or something like that, and you got 10 contacts, and then you moved on. Well, when you come home and you're on your power, you know, you've got more reach up. Now, can you contact those people then, and you've kind of made friends, or you've made radio friends, and you can speak to them in Hawaii while you're home? I mean, is that what that's about, or?
Well, the people I reached from Hawaii weren't in Hawaii.
Okay, I got you. Well, that's, I'm glad I asked that question. Okay.
You know, and Anthony, wasn't your dad involved in radio too?
Yeah, my dad lived up in Alaska, and he lived, 50 miles north of Fairbanks in a tiny little bush cabin, which had generator for power for a couple hours a day. And he recharged his little 12-volt battery banks, his golf cart batteries, so that during the day, if he wanted to listen to the radio, he had that. If he needed to turn on a light bulb, you know, because when it's winter in Alaska, it's winter all day.
Yeah.
And it's nighttime all day. And so you're using the light bulb from the morning to the night, but you only charge them up at night. And then he might, you know, watch a DVD or two while the batteries charge, you know, batteries are charging. And he had his amateur radio station, and every day he would check in so that to local nets up in Hawaii, I mean, in Alaska, so that, you know, people would know, hey, I haven't heard from Pete in a couple of days. Can somebody run up and check on him and things like that? Right. So it's a good safety net, especially when you're remote. Or if something did happen, you could, you know, fight at the next thing and say, hey, listen, you know, we've got a situation up here, not feeling great. Can somebody, you know, come up and get me or something like that?
Exactly. So, you know, that's the thing is that it's just real fun for me to see what we can do. Obviously, the other thing I want to say about Anthony is that he's invested in the hobby. He has a leadership role in an amateur radio club in North Texas, very prestigious amateur radio club. He's a very high-ranking officer. And lately, Anthony has really taken up the mantle to kind of spread awareness about ham radio to different folks in the community, you know, in different walks of life, stations of life, kids, like you said, these balloon race, you know, emergency preparedness. And so I'm doing my part to help in some small minuscule way with that, you know, because I think it's a fun hobby. And I don't, you know, there's a lot of youth that are interested in digital and FT8.
Awesome.
You want to talk about FT8 and FT4 a little bit?
Me? I'm not an FT person.
I'm not either. You know, we have that in common.
But I can talk a little bit about it. But, you know, one of the key things with, like, ham radio is there's a lot of different things to appeal to a lot of different people, you know. Like, I can actually do amateur radio on my phone, you know, because there's a lot of local repeaters. We talked about the repeaters are being local. So there's a repeater in here in Plano, Texas, that I can reach with an app because it's connected to the internet. So when everything is working, you could do all these extra things. When things aren't working, some of these things break. But when the internet is working, you can use this app called Echolink and input your license. It gets verified. You get an account. And then I can use Echolink to talk to local repeaters around the world. I can key up a local repeater in Tokyo if I wanted to. I can key up a local repeater in Berlin. I have heard somebody talking on our repeater in Plano, Texas with this really thick accent, and it's someone from Australia keying up our repeater and talking to people. And that's one of the cool things you can do. And it certainly doesn't take a large investment in money. You know, yes, some gear costs money if you're going to buy that $1,500, 1,500-watt amp. Yeah, it's going to cost some money. But then again, the app is free. The license, you know, yes, it has a processing fee, but it's, you know, good for 10 years. So the cost per year is nothing, you know. And some of the radios, like these little, you know, Baofengs that a lot of people have, these are available for less than $40 from Amazon, and you're able to take them and communicate locally. You know, FRS is
family radio system.
Yes, the family radio service or system. I don't know.
Service.
Yeah, that's free. You know, you can buy two FRS radios at Walmart for like $30, and your kids can go play radio. I played radio when I was little with the little 49 megahertz Radio Shack radios. You know, a lot of people have done that. People like to play radio. I'll hide, you find me type of thing. So FRS is great for that. And then GMRS, which is the General Mobile Radio Service, is an expansion of that. And what the way they do it is you apply for a family license. No test. You just fill out a piece of paper. You send the FCC a processing fee and everything. And then your entire family is licensed. Anybody in your family. Your wife, your kids, you, you're all licensed. You all can use it when you go out camping. Hey, hey, you guys want to go for a walk? Here, take this. You know, just stay on frequency, and if you need me, shout.
Cool.
Cool. Something as simple as that, because you could be camping at a place where the cell service is not so great. Hills, trees, terrain make it spotty, whereas, you know, a little radio like this makes it a lot easier just to stay in communication locally. And then you step up from that, you can get a mobile radio. Like, these are like 5 watts or 7 watts. And then you can put one in your car that's got 50 watts. Kids are going to hear that one when you tell them to come in.
Yes. So as Bruce was just telling, you've become more active in the ham radio for your community, and you have a leadership role. So we are honored today to have the illustrious potentate, the grand poobah.
Yeah.
The illustrious potentate of the radio world.
Yes.
In the Metroplex. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's good because it's part of, you know, it, with storms that come through, tornadoes and things like that, I think it's important to, like, be planning ahead, you know, to have that plan, have extra medicine on hand, have extra food on hand. I mean, how many people during COVID had to, like, go out and when you could buy cereal or when you could buy toilet paper, you would stock up. And, you know, we all learned a little bit about prepping. You know, all the preppers are like, I told you. Yeah. I told you, you know, and everybody else is like, oh, my goodness, they have cereal this week. Let's buy 5 boxes, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's now, for instance, don't we have a repeater that's on a water tower or one that's at the top of a football stadium, Anthony?
The Plano repeaters are on top of the water tower. And then we're looking at adding other listening sites to connect into that, a networked system, and that will just assist us in listening. Like, previously I was up in Pennsylvania, and I was part of a ham radio club in Pennsylvania, and it had a really wide area where it could hear from. And what it does is has different listening sites,
right?
Because remember, most people are transmitting with 5 watts. That's not going to reach as far as the 250-watt output of the repeater high up on a tower. Me, I'm standing on the street or in between buildings with this little radio, so they needed to add little what they called listening sites around the area that would all come back and come back to that central repeater that would repeat it back out. And one of the really tough areas was what we call up there the Delaware Water Gap, where the ground comes up really high, and then it comes down to the Delaware River. Well, radio doesn't make it through that hill, so they needed, right, to have something either on the hill or on the other side of the hill to hear people down in the Delaware Water Gap to get them back into the system. And, you know, it's you know, you don't know what systems are out there and what they cover and everything, so that's, you know, part of the understanding that you grow to learn over the course of time.
Amazing. It's just amazing. So, and do you have a recruiting plan as your clubs, you know, you meet, you have organizations, and do you have a recruiting plan that brings young people in or old people or any people?
We're, you know, well, you know, as Bruce says, we're always trying to do a little bit of outreach, but, you know, because we're all volunteers, we all have day jobs, and, yeah, you know, we're all busy with things. Sometimes it isn't as high a priority in various people's lives as, you know, the club. Nobody works for the club. The club is all volunteer. It's all whatever available time you have. So when people have time, they do outreach. Like Sean, one of our, you know, board members, he went to an event and set up a table and showed people and had, you know, gave people an opportunity to operate. Field day is encouraged to be out in public so that people can see it. And one year we were at one of the Plano playgrounds that had a frisbee golf. So people all day long, golfers were coming through and like, well, what's that? What are you guys doing here? And everything, because it was something they don't normally encounter. So finding ways to be in front of people is, you know, something that we're looking at improving over the course of time, because, you know, there are so many different ways to communicate. But as we found out with, you know, Puerto Rico and with September 11th, when the system is pushed, there's not a lot of overhead there. You know, we know our telephone system and our cell phone system is only designed for like 20 to 30% of capacity. When an emergency happens and everybody gets on the phone, there's not enough circuits there for to complete all those calls. You know, so that's another thing that, you know, to take into consideration, that a phone call could be really hard to make. And it really needs both ends to be there and everything to be there all the way through, which during an emergency might not be the case. But if you send a text message, it leaves my phone and goes into the system, and then it gets routed to wherever that person is. But if the person's phone is off or ran out of power or the cell tower is down, it's going to sit in the system.
Yeah.
And wait. So an hour later, when their phone is charged back up, or they're in another space where they have access to a tower, you know, and we've all done that. You know, we're driving, or mm-hmm. we had our phone off, you know, ran out of power, and we turn it back on. All of a sudden, it's like ding, 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 ding. All these things that were sitting in the system are then delivered. So that is a great protocol for in an emergency. Don't call. Send a message, because it's more likely to get through. And if it can't get through now, it might get through later.
Okay. I know. If only people would have realized that back in 2000 or 2001, a lot more messages could have gone through. So,
well, I think a lot of, you know, we didn't realize how low the capacity was for these systems. Secondly, the towers falling themselves took out some of the capacity. And lastly, you know, we learned from experience. You know, it took that, you know, incident to make us realize that, you know, it's not possible for all of us to make a call. It's like we all don't have the ability to have a clean path through the system. It's like rush hour traffic. Everybody gets on the road. Nobody gets anywhere fast.
Yeah. Like driving in Puerto Rico.
That is good. So, Wayne, what other questions do you
might well, I have? Well, I'm sorry that I keep asking these
no,
questions.
No, that's great.
It's just so interesting, and I'm the one that's, you know, outside, so of course I'm curious, and there's so many questions. But I can just see, you know, that it would actually, there's so many uses for this for young people today. I mean, you know, when you hear about, I'm sorry, the crime, the fear, you know, of being out, of young ladies around campus, college campuses. I can see a lot of value in this versus even the telephone, the cell phone, you know, for safety, for an example.
Right.
I would think just as a civil service safety matter that, I mean, young, it's like, now I know this is really far out there and maybe a poor example, but you know, the girl that was killed in, I think it was Georgia. She was a student running and was killed. The guy charged with it, the main suspect is, you know, was a wild, crazy gang guy from another country that got in here. Well, just like you said, Dad tells the kids, he said, go out and take a walk. If you need anything, call me. Well, they could have that little radio, you know, and she, it may have made a difference. I don't know, but I'm just talking that safety thing because their cell phone certainly did. But, you know, this is like another, it's just another safety feature for a lot of people. These mothers that disappear when they're jogging or when they're out for a hike,
There's definitely an opportunity there for that, because, you know, a lot of us are familiar with like different communities setting up a town watch or something like that. You know, there's nothing stopping a college community or a university from setting up a listening channel, because they already have security on site at there, but the security can't be everywhere down every back alley and everything.
Right.
And for them to say, hey, listen, we're going to set up a GMRS radio and we're going to listen on this channel. If you want, you can buy yourself a little radio like this, and someone is always in the base station. Someone is always listening. And if you are somewhere and you don't feel safe, you know, maybe making it to that other, the little blue stand is too far, or you don't feel like that's a good idea to go, or you're not safe in a building, you could just call up and say, hey, listen, I am in this building. I'd like an escort.
Yes. And we're talking a $40 radio versus a $1,500 cell phone.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's just, I would just see programs, you know, for colleges, like you said, Anthony, that it could be so valuable for the college to offer. Like you said, they have the security already. And it's something I don't know anything about. And I can assure you, if you ask 100 college girls about ham radio, 99.9 are not going to, they've never heard of it. They're right. going to say, what do you put on your ham, mustard or ketchup?
And you know, honestly, ham radio is not the only solution out there as well, because if, you know, let's just take iPhones, for example, because a lot of the younger kids like their iPhones and they got the Apple Watch and everything. It's imperative for them to think ahead and be prepared. It's all about being prepared, thinking through things and setting things up ahead of time, because the iPhone, when you go to turn it off, it actually... You'll see if you just press and hold the two buttons, it comes up with an SOS. Do you want to send an SOS? You know, you can put that into your watch so that if you're being chased or something like that, that is available as a resource for people to send out that emergency message without having to like take it, unlock it, go to the right app, do this thing, you know, like, let me get to the text message, let me find the right person, da 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 da. But you got to set that up ahead of time. You have to be prepared, think through your preparedness plan. Okay, who do I want this message to go to? What do I want this message to say? You know, it's going to tack in your GPS and the time and everything else. And it's like, you know, I remember when I was, you know, working with my dad, you know, there was a thing where on our watch we could, I think it was like Big Red Button or something like that. It was an app that you could call up with a button press on the watch and then with a second button press initiate a message. But then on the phone, you know, you have to go in there and say, okay, who am I sending this text message to? What do I want it to say and everything? So that if you can't get to your phone, you know, let's just say my dad is older. He's got his phone. It's sitting on the table. He went to go over to the sink to get a drink of water or something like that, and he trips, you know. Being able to have that in his watch, you know, the fall, I've fallen and I can't get up thing, you know, technology enables us to build that to be convenient. Oh, I can still reach my watch. Yeah. You know, I can send a thing. And it's even Apple has says they put fall detection in the watches. Yes. And I think for, you know, seniors who are living alone and there's not people checking on them every day, that is something that, you know, hey, you know, if you're younger and you have older parents that are, you know, living alone, set this up now and be prepared so that it's already there and waiting for when the moment happens and it executes automatically.
Anthony, here, I know we're coming close to, Bruce is going to wind us up here, but I'm going to summarize what I got out of this. Every question that I've asked and when you've come and answered it and discussed it, it does come down to preparedness. Practice, drill, rehearse. Have a plan, and then practice, drill, rehearse. Hey, you know, I am a senior, and I do live alone. My son was here for the weekend from New York. I took him to the airport this morning. And, you know, I've shut my phone off every now and then just because it's been on too long. I don't know, you know, just reboot it. But I do see that emergency SOS whenever I have an iPhone, so, you know, it pops up when I'm starting my shutdown.
Right.
And all I've ever done is seen it. I didn't even know what the hell it was for. I mean, if you follow me, I don't know or have a plan or anything about that. And the main message you've given today, a lot of knowledge about the different bands you and Bruce have talked about, and Bruce sent me some links on some of the things I'm going to look at. But my message that I got from you, which I think to our listeners, you should take this as very valuable and start planning with your parents, with your kids, them with you, and then practice, drill, rehearse. That's, and no matter what you're doing, that's what I got out of today. And Anthony, I can't thank you enough. I didn't come on the program today expecting this at all. I didn't. I was a CB guy in the 70s, and man, I had different radios and Breaker 19 and C.W. McCall, the Convoy, all those things. I'm a child of the 70s, so but prepared because there's more and more emergencies today. There's more and more things all of us need to be prepared for.
Yeah, things happen, you know, and you don't know if it's something that's going to be happening at a school. Somebody posted something, and then there's a lockdown and everything. So it's sort of like, you know, just having communications between family too. And, yep. You know, one of the things, because I have kids and they always say, you know, give your kids a passphrase, you know, so that if somebody's impersonating you, oh, your parents sent me here to pick you up. Oh, yeah. You know, how is the dog? Oh, right. You mean so, and you know, you have to put checks and balances in place ahead of time. You have to, like, you know, and there's plenty of websites out there that can guide you through this. Plenty of YouTube channels and videos out there that talk through emergency preparedness. And I think it just takes being aware and, like you said, practice, because you look at success in any field, in any sport, in you know, in business, success takes, let's do the process, let's refine the process, let's go over it again, and then finding out where the problems are, let's solve for that, and then until the process works very, very well and very smoothly, and that way we can sit there and say, then when we need it, it's going to do what we expect it to do.
I think all of the Dallas Cowboys needed to be on this radio show today.
Absolutely. Except the kicker. Kicker was awesome.
Yo, that
was man-like. Well, folks, let's go ahead and wind her up for this. We got a few minutes left. Anthony, thanks for coming on the show. It's just been a pleasure. We didn't even scratch the surface of Zello, MERS. There's so much more we could do. We'll get you on here again. We'll talk some more stuff here. But what a great overview. Real quick, the viewers connect with you, Anthony.
Well, I do, like I said, I do live streaming production. So that my website is Stream For Us, stream4.us. If people are interested in learning about streaming, I have a new Stream Tech channel on YouTube. And if people are interested in ham radio, the American Radio Relay League, ARRL.org, is our central repository for information about ham radio. And I am, as he mentioned, very, very excessively, I am the vice president of the Plano Amateur Radio Club, which is K5PRK.net.
Awesome. Yeah, and also I have some videos on a YouTube video. If you just get on YouTube and type in K6BWC, it's Kilo 6, Bravo Whiskey Charlie, K6BWC, a bunch of videos will come up on GMRS antennas, HF, long distance contact, short distance contact. So I got a little sampling. I actually sent a little sampling over to Wayne via Facebook personal message. So, well, thanks so much for coming on the show. Such a pleasure having you. And folks, remember to catch this podcast and all of our other podcasts for free. You ain't paying Nathan. No, it's free. Nothing. Yes, sir. You like that way. And they're on the LA Talk Radio, latalkradio.com. You can get our prior shows. We're on Apple Podcast. We're on Amazon Audible and iHeart Media and a couple of others. So we're doing getting out there. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Wayne, how can folks reach you?
Well, still the same way, Bruce. Wayne_515@yahoo.com. And I might pitch in next week. We have Dave Bryant.
Okay.
Great, great salesman. Just finished writing a book about his career. We're going to have, and he started another book, which he'll get into that. But it's a pleasure to have him.
It's like, is it Confessions of a Door-to-Door Salesman or something like that? Yeah,
that's kind of like, that's kind of what it is. Yeah,
man, can't wait to hear it. Well, with that, we got to go. So take care, everybody.
Thanks, we'll
see you on the Concierge Coach Show. Bye, everybody. See ya.
Talk Radio.